And I'm going to ask you if you would just welcome our guest today. Actually, DJ and Lindsay. I'm not going to have you stand up, Lindsay, but great to have you. Why don't we welcome DJ as he comes at the preach.
Thank you. And all God's people said, amen. All right, good. So you guys are responsive. That's good. Because I can't just stand up here and talk. You guys are going to have to be part of this with me, okay? I'm excited to be with you. I'm so grateful for just the opportunity. So grateful to be with you. And your welcoming spirit is contagious and encouraging. And my wife and I have got to see the root of that, which is your pastor and his wife, Gordon Arlene. Thank you guys so much for your hospitality to us, showing us around. And they have spoke wonderfully of you. I want to tell you that. And I just from the short moments that I've had with your pastor, I know that you are in good hands. And so I hope that you trust that as well. I don't know if you get a break today or not. I hope that you don't. I hope that God's word is heavy on our hearts today. I'll let you know in about 30 minutes whether you got a break or not, okay? It's kind of dangerous to put a guest preacher right before lunch. It's not dangerous for the people. It's dangerous for the guest preacher. And I am keenly aware of the time that I have, and I promise I will at least get us out of here before your annual meeting, okay? I do. That reminds me of a story, and you may have heard this one before, but there were two college students who were at university together, and one was a Southern Baptist young man, and the other was a Greek Orthodox young man. And so they had a philosophy class together, and one of their assignments was to find someone of a different faith and attend their service and report back just the differences in those things. And so the Greek Orthodox invited the roommate of his to go with him to his church, and so the Southern Baptist young man went and watched the service, had many questions, and asked him afterwards a lot of things. And so they took the next week, and they went to the Southern Baptist church where this young man attended, and as the service began, it was great worship, and the Greek Orthodox young man had many questions, and all of a sudden, the preacher gets up, and when he goes to the pulpit, he takes his watch and he takes it off and places it right there on the pulpit. And in a curious manner, the Greek Orthodox leaned over to his friend and he said, "What does that mean when he does that?" And his friend looked at him and said, "Not a dadgum thing." And so I hope not to keep us long today, but I do hope to communicate that which God has desired for us today. The title of the message today is Unified for the Gospel. And I want to engage the message this morning using the famous words of one of Canada's own. And you may recognize these. No, it is not Tommy Chong, who is also from Calgary. I couldn't find anything to use in my sermon from him, but you may recognize these. It says, "Far across the distance and spaces between us, you have come to show you go on. Near, far, wherever you are, I believe that the heart does go on. Once more, you open the door and you're here in my heart, and my heart will go on and on." Yes, if you squint your eyes and read between the lines just a little bit, you can see that even Celine Dion communicates what it means to be united for the gospel. That we, though we be far apart, we have the same goal. We are of the same kingdom. We are a part of one another. I've just met many of you, and I can already know in my heart that I have brothers and sisters in this room. Ones who fall under the same banner of Jesus Christ that I do. And that's why we can come together. I bring you greetings from the people of First Baptist Church of Bristow. My wife, Lindsay, and I are so glad to be with you this morning to see your beautiful country. Winter hit early in the States, And so we were already acclimated to the cold weather, all right? Now, we weren't acclimated to, like, Friday's cold of cold weather, but we do enjoy cold weather. In fact, last week, my cousin Cameron, who's a pastor in the States, we were at a conference together. He's actually here on this trip as well, and we were at a conference together, and we had snow come in, and it was cold, and we checked our phones, and it was actually better weather here than it was in Oklahoma last week. And I've told many folks that I've talked to in Oklahoma, if you don't like the weather, all you got to do is wait 30 minutes and it will change. But I have to tell you that being an outdoorsman and being a traveler myself, I love beautiful scenery. I love cold weather. My wife may love snow and cold winters even more so than I do. And in the original plans for us to come and be with you this morning, I was actually supposed to preach at a different church. I was supposed to preach, I believe, at a church in Junction, and it was a pastorless church. And so if things went well over there and they asked me, I may have just stayed to be their pastor and just, you know, called for the kids to come on up to Canada, and we would have loved to have been a part of it. But God had other plans. Plans that include me being here with you this morning to share God's word. So let's not neglect this great opportunity that we have to share together in what God has orchestrated. I pray that you will receive with an open heart that which God has given to us this morning. I'm not sure if you have this tradition or not, but I always ask the people to stand in honor of the word of the Lord and the Lord of the word. So would you stand with me this morning? And if you have your Bibles, you can take and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I want to read for you verses 8 through 17 as we begin this morning. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the news of your faith is being reported in all the world. God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in telling the good news about his Son, that I constantly mention you, always asking in my prayers that if it is somehow in God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I want very much to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. That is my prayer this morning. Now, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I often planned to come to you, but was prevented until now in order that I might have a fruitful ministry among you, just as I've had among the rest of the Gentiles. I'm obligated both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish, so I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. And then one of the great phrases that Paul ever wrote. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that this morning that you would push me out of the way. God, I pray that you would let your spirit speak. God, that we would have open and receiving hearts to what you have to say to us. Remind us this morning of the greater and grander picture of the gospel. That it is more than just us on an island by ourselves, but that we are partnered together, united for the gospel work of the kingdom of God. Speak to us now, and it's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You might have heard this old joke before, but a man arrived at the gates of heaven, and St. Peter asked him, what religion are you? And the man said, well, I am a Methodist. And St. Peter looks down his list and says, I need you to go to room 24, but be very quiet as you pass room 8. Another man arrived at the gate shortly after. St. Peter said, religion, and he said, well, I'm a Lutheran. And he said, well, I'm going to need you to go to room 18, but please make sure that you're very quiet when you pass room 8. And a third man arrived at the gates Peter asked religion, and he said, I'm Presbyterian. He said, I need you to go to room 11, but I need you to be very quiet as you pass room 8. The man who had seen the previous man, he looked at Peter somewhat confused, and he said, I can understand there being different rooms for different denominations, but why must I be quiet when I pass room number 8? And St. Peter tells him, well, you see, the Baptists are in room number 8, and they think that they're the only ones that are here. You see, the beauty of the gospel is that it's for everyone. The beauty of the gospel is that just like I am from Bristow, Oklahoma, where I love the people, I grew up in a town called Slick, Oklahoma. It's not too far from Bristow, and as much as I just love the people there, I love people anywhere, because I've come to understand that no matter a nationality, an ethnicity, no matter a creed, no matter an allegiance, all people can fall under the grace of Jesus Christ. And just as Ephesians 4 tells us, there's one body and there's one spirit and there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one God and Father of all, who is over all of us and in all of us. And what is communicated in that, and also what we find in Romans chapter 1 today, is that we are indeed unified in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this morning I want to encourage and remind myself, just as much as I want to encourage and remind you, of that unity. That we can come together under the banner, under the presence of the Holy Spirit, under the unction of God's work and will for us, and we can be unified in the gospel work. I have four things that I find in Romans chapter 1. If you're taking notes, you're more than welcome to write these down. The first one is that we find that we are unified in grace. We are unified in grace, and fair warning, I like to alliterate, so all of these are going to be unified in something that starts with G, all right? So just to keep it simple, unified in grace. One of the great things about the book of Romans is that the book of Romans was specifically geared in its first intention towards the Jewish people in Rome. But Paul would be the one who would preach among the Gentiles. And the great problem that Paul had was how to communicate that you and I are the same under grace. And in the text that we find, he wants us to understand that we are indeed unified in this grace. At the end of the text in verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. We know that Romans 3:23, just a couple chapters later, Paul would say that all of us, the word all, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That you and I, we are no different when it comes to sin. That even our birth put us in the same class. It put us in the same race. It put us in the same line. It put us together, all under sin. And so we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. One of the great things about the gospel is that it doesn't have a prejudice. But the sad reality is that sin doesn't have prejudice either. And it's by that grace that we are unified. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, through faith. And Paul, in verse 17 of Romans chapter 1, tells us that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And the righteous will live by faith. I love that it says the righteous will live by faith, because it doesn't say the righteous will live by the law or by works. There's so many folks that are around us. I'm sure this is true even in a Calgary setting. Folks all around us that just want to be good people. They want to do good things. They want to check all the boxes and call their life good. And the danger that we find in that is that there's no grace in that. There's no faith in that. And we fall short and empty every time. We're unified in the grace. I want to move on because I think that that is a very easy concept for all of us. I don't know about you, but I was a sinner once. I don't know about you, but I still need the grace of Jesus Christ every day of my life. I still need what John chapter 1 describes as grace upon grace. I don't just need grace, I need extra grace. And I'm sure that if we had an honest conversation, you would say the same. And so we are indeed unified in grace. And if you're here this morning and you've never come to that place in your life, don't leave this building without experiencing the grace of Jesus Christ. Don't leave this service without discussing with the pastor or an elder here what it means to live by faith through grace in Jesus Christ. We're unified in grace. The second thing, we're unified in the gospel. I love Romans 1:16. It's just one of my favorite verses. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. Listen, we're unified in that gospel. So what is the unifying gospel? Well, if you look back in Romans chapter 1, verse 2, Paul gives us this outline. In verse 2, he says, Paul, a servant of Christ, called as an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, with a hyphen to tell us this is what the gospel of God is, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was descendant of David according to the flesh and was appointed to be the powerful Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the Gentiles. You see, we could run around and around in circles all day. I'm sure your church does it just like ours. We could go around on the matters of worship and history and theology and philosophy, but there is absolutely no compromise between you and I on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is set in stone. It is what it is. It was in the beginning and it will be beyond the end. The gospel of Jesus Christ is unifying because it is solid. When it comes to those matters of different ideas, I may be a little different than most folks. Because I wish, by the way, before I say this, I think I need to take maybe just a couple families and back with me, if that's okay, just so you guys can worship with our people, because you guys sing loud and you praise, and goodness, there was a couple kids over here that were just singing at the top of their lungs. What a beautiful picture of worship. And my folks at First Baptist Bristol could learn a couple things. Is this going to be online? Because I don't want any of them to see that. I've told them that before. They're fine. But I wish that we worshiped more like the Pentecostals do, with a freeness and a buoyancy. I wish that we prayed more like the Presbyterians, deep theologically. I wish that most people approach the Word of God like Baptists do, I wish we all would be as people-focused as non-denominational churches are. But one thing I can guarantee is that we all come under the same blood of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin. We all know Him as the way, the truth, the life, and none of us will see eternity except through Christ and Christ alone. The gospel has no prejudice or presumptions. To be unified in the gospel means that we take on that banner as well. Mark 16:15 tells us that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Matthew 24:14, Jesus tells us, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And again in Matthew 28:19, we know this great call. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You see, the gospel itself is for all men, not some elite group, not some certain culture, not a particular race, not a specific gender or sexual orientation. The gospel was meant for all people. Diversity is such a great piece of the gospel. Certainly when we read Romans, right here in chapter 1, look at verse 13. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I often plan to come to you in order that I might have a fruitful ministry among you, just as I have had among the rest of the Gentiles. And in 14, I'm obligated both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. The second part of verse 16, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. Paul got it and wanted the church to understand that the gospel is for all people. And we are unified in that. Thirdly, we're unified in going. One of the great blessings that we've had this week is, or this weekend, was having lunch yesterday with Gordon and Arlene and David, who's the pastor of the Korean church that meets here. And what a blessing it was to hear not only his heart, but to hear of the mission work that their church is doing. Guys, we are united in going. We are unified in taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And also to taking it across the street. Paul said in verse 11, I want very much to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you and so that we together may be encouraged. He understood this idea of going and that it took partnership. One of the reasons that I'm before you this morning is for the idea of partnership, to be unified in going. Let's not forget the main thing. We need to let the main thing be the main thing. I tell my people this all the time, and I often get confused looks. Let's let the main thing be the main thing. Let's do the main thing because it is the main thing. What is the main thing? The main thing is this, the lost being saved. That is the main thing. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you that we can become greatly disjointed if we want to get started out in different ways. If we have the main goal of the lost being saved, the gospel for all men, then we will see great, great things that God can do. But if we have any other agenda, I want to speak to just your church now. If this side of the room has a different agenda than this side of the room, and none of that has to do with a lost being saved, then a church will die, it will close, it will be inactive, there will be conflict. The devil will have his way among us. We have to be unified in going. Every member joined together in the idea of the lost being saved. We have no other purpose that is of merit. We have no other obligation that is praiseworthy. We have the task of going and making disciples of all nations. But we have to do that together, jointly, unified in going. And here's the end of all of this. We are unified in grace. Praise the Lord for His grace. We are unified in the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. We're unified in going. You and I have the same task. To tell all who will hear about Jesus Christ. But finally, what is fantastic in the end of this is a beautiful picture. You can take and turn to Revelation chapter 7 with me. I want to read something for you real quick. Not only are we unified in grace, not only are we unified in the gospel, not only are we unified in going, but finally we will be unified in glory. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9 is a beautiful picture. And when we pull it in retrospect, we see a beautiful call of the gospel. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. After this I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they cried in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and along with the elders and the four living creatures, they fell face down before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Listen, one of the great privileges that we will have as children of God is to stand before His throne, crying out in whatever language, praising our God with our brothers and sisters in Christ who may not look like us or may not talk like us, all for the glory of Him. What a beautiful picture of the gospel. In his book, The Book of Merlin, T.H. White says this. He says, "I can imagine nothing more terrifying than an eternity filled with men who were all the same. The only thing which has made life bearable has been the diversity of creatures on the surface of the globe." You see, the very essence of the gospel, the very essence of the gospel is that all men, every nation and tribe and tongue, come under the blood of Jesus Christ for salvation. And we receive the glorious gift of eternal life, united in glory. Glorified bodies. Who is so excited about a glorified body? All right? I don't know if you've got ailments like we do up here in Calgary, but I got to tell you, I can't wait to not have any back pain, all right? I can't wait to be able to run for a long time. I know that you can look at me and tell that I don't run for very long. But I cannot wait to be in a place where there's no pain, there's no ailments. The blind will see and the lame will walk. I can't wait to get to that place. We'll have glorified bodies and glorified voices. Guys, listen, I'm going to sound like one of the best singers that you've ever heard in your life. And I can't wait for that. You guys are blessed with some great musicians here. And I can't wait to just be standing around a bunch of other people. I love to listen to music. Music is very near and dear to my heart. I was the worship pastor for many years, and I love music. And I can't wait till we get to heaven and we get to just live in praise and worship, and I get to listen to a bunch of people sing around me, and I'm going to want to sing as well, but I'm going to want to listen. It's going to be real hard for me, at least, I know. But we're going to have glorified bodies and glorified voices crying out to the God who is worthy of all glory forever and ever. Amen. Let me close this in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the call of unity. God, I thank you for grace. In my own heart and life, I know that you have forgiven me of all my sin. Not only grace in that moment, but you give grace upon grace that your mercies are new every day. God, we thank you for grace. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. That we could not do it on our own, but rather when we come in faith, believing in Jesus Christ and confessing him as Lord, that his work is how we are saved. God, may you find us unified in going. May you find us unified, each of us, in the task of the gospel. Everyone here, would you challenge us with one person this week that we may share the gospel with, that we may share the truth of Jesus Christ with. And God, until we get to that day where we're unified together as one body of believers, before your throne in glory, God, may you find us faithful in partnering for the work of the kingdom. God, I thank you for these here. God, as we spend time in worship, in response, pray that you be glorified. It's in your name I pray. Amen.